All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We are back with our brother Ben, former Texan, who's now out of Panama. And Ben and I are going to be talking about the underground church, resistance movements, and how that can apply today. Also, I'd like for Ben to be able to talk about his property that's out there and what he's got going on for anyone who's new. And anyone who's new to the program, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. My name is Doug Thornton. I'm the host. And let's get straight into it. Ben, how are you doing, brother? Thanks for coming back on with us.
Oh, we're doing great here in Panama. The weather's always spring-like temperatures year-round, so I can't complain.
Yeah, man, that's a gorgeous background that you got, too. Hey, let's get right into it. The underground church. We know the politics are kind of rising here in America. Needless to say, it's getting ugly out there. What do you see the future of the church having to do to go around the obvious attack on free speech, freedom of religion here in America? You and I have talked about the need for the underground church. Do you still see that need also in Panama and elsewhere?
I think everywhere needs to be prepared for this. I think eventually it's coming to all of us to one degree or another. And sometimes historically it can come in waves. And but my expectation for end times is we're all going to be facing this. And it's just a matter of time. So I think all Christians should be prepared to suffer for Christ and be ready for that day when they may be coming for us and hauling us away or making us people that are against the culture, or you know, like we've already seen, where you'll be registered as domestic terrorists or somehow against civil society if you believe in Jesus Christ or the Bible is the only way. We just look to history and we see that the underground church has been with us since the beginning. Even in Acts, you see how Paul is having to in a basket out of a city to get away from people that are coming after him. You see John James, the brother of John, being executed and put in prison. Early Rome, the Roman times, you see the persecutions. They were called atheists because they didn't believe in multiple gods and they wouldn't worship Caesar. They were called that they were said to be involved with incest because they called each other brothers and sisters. They were even called domestic terrorists because they were blamed for the fires in Rome. So, of course, then the Colosseum being executed. And ever since that day, there's been persecution in various parts of the world. And now we see it in North Korea, in China, in India, Muslim countries. And I think we see a soft form of this persecution now in the Western countries, especially the English-speaking countries, where, you know, over the years, you've seen people that want to be a wedding photographer or a cake baker or provide wedding venues, and people losing their jobs because of the statements they make on Facebook. This soft persecution is already coming to us. And if we look back over COVID times, I've talked to people in Canada, the United States, Australia, and other parts of the world, and pastors were arrested if they decided they felt that God was calling them to keep their churches open. And people in Canada were, I've talked to families that have moved to Panama, families that moved to Texas, that they were hiding in the forest and in the basements to keep having church. They were having to make sure that the police wasn't on their trail and that neighbors weren't snitching on them. Now all that's kind of gone away, but we've already seen tastes and bits and pieces of this persecution and underground church. And I think it's time to be mentally and physically prepared for what comes next. If these things ramp up to a higher degree, and try to have some kind of plan of action before it happens, get organized, get ready, mentally and physically and spiritually.
You know, you talk about the lockdowns with COVID. Then also, you know, you had the COVID shots, forced inoculations is what some countries went through. I heard recently, Dave Hodges and I, that Australia may be using the military soon to drag people out of their homes and to forcibly inject them with the, you know, the kill shot, the clot shot. Obviously, this won't be on YouTube, so screw YouTube. We're going to say what we feel like. This is going on Rumble, where free speech still lives. Oh, by the way, to anyone listening, we are going to migrate to Rumble. It's going to happen. I'm not going to shut my mouth, and I'm not going to be a good boy just to appease the soft-hearted, you know, pencil necks that are over there on YouTube. So get ready for us to be on Rumble permanently. So that's an FYI to everybody who's not subscribed. Go to Rumble and subscribe. But, you know, I will say this, man. I think it's strange. I think it's very strange. During COVID, you had all these churches locked down, and people were afraid to go out. They were afraid to go and pray together. And it saddened me, you know, in my area, I'm sure in your areas, you've probably seen it. It saddened me how the people of God just gave up so quickly, so quickly. And then you were, you know, people were so quickly ready to put on the mask. You know, there's your permission to go out and do stuff. Just put the mask on, take the shot. You know, you want to fly? Well, you got to have a card that says, you know, you've been inoculated. And you had countries like Israel where they were on their fourth and fifth shot and still having massive outbreaks. And then you had people at the CDC on their fourth shot and then have a massive outbreak. Obviously, there's nefariousness going on. And, you know, we're all expecting, because it's election year again, for the lockdowns to come back. And I wonder, Ben, how do you think the church is going to respond this time? Because we as the church, as the body of Christ, not saying anything individually, we'll say we, as the body of Christ, laid down and took it for the most part. And do you think that's going to happen again?
I think some people woke up to what's going on with this past COVID thing. I have seen people that it was a wake up call. Even people that took the shot, they may regret it. There are a number of people that are a little bit more suspicious. They think, but others think, well, maybe the government didn't handle it quite right. You know, it's hard to say, but I tend to think that most people are just going to go along with it again if it happens again. Or something along those lines, that they've kind of shown already where their allegiance lies and whether they're going to have backbone to stand up against any kind of opposition. I don't feel like that the COVID go around was that intense of a situation to buckle and say we're not going to have church services and yeah we're going to all wear masks and have these shots. I think something a lot more severe could develop, and that's just going to get even more people on board with the agenda or whatever it is they're trying to push. And I think we are facing something that could be overwhelming for a lot of people. And as we see the increase of the police state and this technocratic beast system, as they have eyes and ears everywhere, and the surveillance state and making it so everyone so dependent on technology and phones and social media. So many people, they just want to keep their job. They just want to be able to take care of their family. So I know Christians that they held out for a long time not getting the shot, but then it finally came down to get the shot or lose your job, and they took the shot. Now, I can see why someone would sacrifice themselves for their family like that, or the potential risk of, you know, not knowing what they're going to be getting. But it, like I say, this could be an overwhelming if something like this happens, comes around again.
Well, the, you know, everyone said that it was a gross negligence on the U.S. government to be able to shut down from West Coast to East Coast, North to South, everything, when we've had much worse outbreaks with influenza. But what we know happened and what we saw happen is that just like 9/11, the Patriot Act, they had a situation that we all believe at this point was manufactured, to the point that most of Congress believes that it was manufactured. And they scared the hell out of everybody. They took advantage of it. Now, you know, in the beginning, now COVID's a real thing. The disease is a real thing. I got it. My wife got it. I was down for about a day or two. My wife was down for about 3 or 4 weeks because of it. And it affects people differently. The African American community was very grossly affected by it. And, you know, you've heard designer drugs, designer bugs. You've heard that, you know, things like this were meant to be a plague upon the human race to thin the herd from the undesirables. And it's not like Bill Gates hadn't said that. It's not like Ted Turner hadn't said that. It's not like Prince Charles, now King Charles, hadn't said that before. We know they've all said it. That's what the Illuminati loves to talk about. The New World Order loves to talk about it. Avi Harara, he loves to talk about it. So I think a very real danger is that the COVID vaccine, forced vaccine mandate, I mean, the federal government, I was still in the federal government at that point in time. We were all dealing with it, and it was causing such contention amongst law enforcement officers, where you had people who were Republican and conservative and were like, screw that, we're not taking the shot. We don't believe the government. We work for the government. And then you had another group of guys that were, you know, liberal leaning or Democratic, and they were like, oh yeah, we'll take the shot because we believe the science and trust the science. They all got sick. Some got hurt, some didn't. But they would look to us and say, you're in the wrong. You're one of those people. You're a conspiracy theorist. Whole time I'm like, yo, dude, we work for Homeland Security. We are the conspiracy. You know, and it's funny. It's funny because you see the division even in the police state. Okay. Mm-hmm. I worked for the police state. You see the division there. So whatever comes about next shows me that, for one thing, This was to add on to the infrastructure technology of the infrastructure of the beast system. So what comes next is another addition of the beast system until eventually you have two choices, take the mark or don't take the mark, right? I mean, for a point in time, wear the mask or don't go shopping. Take the shot or don't fly, right? Some countries wouldn't let you in if you didn't have the card that says you'd taken the shot. That's how close we really were to the mark of the beast. And I know many, many professing Christians, many famous YouTube Christians said that, you know, it was the mark of the beast, and they were wrong. But we're very close to it, Ben. We're very close. So let's move on to this. With the shrinking net that is your freedom, how do you expect to run a church when the churches are obviously LGBT, QRS, pedophilia, Monsterville? When your churches are infiltrated, when your churches have to be a 501c3 or you can't even open the doors anymore, so that means the government has to be in your bank account, in your pocket. What does the underground church look like to you then?
I think it turns into the situation they have in China. I went to China 20 years ago. I went into the interior areas where most of the foreigners don't go. And the people there, you know, when you step off a train, they've never seen a foreigner. They're just yelling, Lawei, Lawei, Lawei. It's a foreigner. Children are touching you as if you're an alien that just stepped off a spaceship. And, But I would walk into these cities, and I would see churches that were about 100 years old, or that were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And those churches still stand, but they are commandeered and a part of the government system. They have an open church and an underground church. So you have the above ground church. They're toeing the line to the communist agenda. All their sermons are read and monitored. Everything they say and do is controlled by the government, and they're okay with that. But then you have the vast amount of Christians that are in the underground church. It's totally illegal. They can be captured, taken away, imprisoned, because they have unofficial churches that aren't recognized. But they're spreading, they're becoming stronger. They're meeting in small groups, in houses, out in rural areas, just wherever they can. And most of the many of those pastors have been arrested and put into jail, and but they were prepared for that and willingly went. I think we could see like something like that forming in the West, where you see an official recognized, okay, government sanctioned church, and then you have the underground church that are meeting and praising God and reading the Bible and all of those things, but are in hiding. They have to have more reliance on God to survive. And this is what you see in countries around the world, in the Muslim countries, or historically in the past. If you remain faithful as a Christian, you become a second-class citizen. You don't have access to all the same jobs that everyone else does. You don't have access to material things. You're shunned by family members or friends or society. And then sometimes that peaks and something happens, and they blame these underground church people. If something happens, then a false flag or something, I could see where they go, oh, it was these Christians. They're the ones doing it. And I think that's what we need to prepare for. We need to prepare for being the underground church. And I think there's ethical considerations that go along with that, because once you're ostracized from society, and as we get closer to that beast system where you can't buy or sell, you can't have a job unless you meet this certain social credit score, or you have the latest injections, you're going to start having these ethical considerations. Do you somehow make false documents to still stay within the system or be able to feed your family? Or do you go out and look to provide for yourself? Do you form these communities like the Amish, or where you can provide for yourself and not be part of this system? Is that even going to be allowed? Are the local and national governments going to allow you to even go out and do that? I mean, we've already seen, I've heard of these attacks on the Amish and regulations on people, having farms. And so that's kind of the direction I see. And I think that's kind of what we need to be prepared for. And maybe it doesn't come soon. Maybe it comes in our children or our grandchildren's lifetime. But I think if we can prepare now and prepare our children and grandchildren for that eventuality. In the persecuted churches in other countries, their children are taught that you need to be prepared to die for your faith. You need to be prepared to be tortured for your faith. And you need to be prepared for you to lose your parents, and you're going to continue on. So I think that's a difficult mindset for the West, but again, we look back at history, and countries that were once Christian are now Muslim. It used to be North Africa and Egypt and Syria and Turkey, that those were strong, Christian strongholds for hundreds of years. Byzantium, the Eastern Empire, Roman Eastern Empire, Constantinople, that was over 1,000 years of a Christian empire, but it was destroyed. It was taken down by the Muslims, and now Constantinople's Istanbul, and they're now, if you're still a Christian, you're a second class citizen in those places. So I think most Americans think that can't happen, but it has happened.
You got another problem is that you have a division amongst the church, because you have the Catholics and the Protestants. The Vatican thinks that it holds all the keys to Christianity, but yet is more of a polytheistic, it's a pantheon of God still that was completely taken over. That whole form, it was completely taken over by the Romans, and they used it because it was popular, because Christianity was growing, and because Rome was dying. So they used a popular faith and just recreated their pantheon of gods. Anyone with a brain and two eyeballs can read history, and you can read it. That's why I disagree with the Catholic faith. You know, they say there's three main faiths of the world, the three great faiths. You have Islam, you have Catholics, they call that Christians, I call it Catholics, and then you have Jews. Well, the Catholics will gladly done their best. And when I say Catholics, guys, I'm not carpet bombing everybody. It's not a big blanket speech. I'm talking about the Vatican, okay, has completely tried its best to blend these things together to one faith, right? You cannot take Islam and blend it with Christianity. You cannot take Christianity and then make it, you know, how would you say this? Make the Talmud and what Jesus said to be null and void because the Talmud came first. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And that's why right now you still have such a problem in Israel. What comes down to it, and this one word is confusion. Satan has done his best to confuse and then to build his own empire inside a faith called Christianity. And I think that the false prophet comes from the Vatican. I think everybody thinks that at this point. I mean, I hear the atheists say it probably more than anyone else. And what you have is you have this appearance of Christianity, but that's not what it is. And so you've seen this within like the Fox's Book of Martyrs and a bunch of other stuff, especially like the Spanish Inquisition. When you have anyone who thinks outside of the realm of the state of mind control, that is the Vatican, that is Islam. It's all about mind control through fear and violence and taxation. Once you step outside of that, once you become the underground church, and you say, we're not going to send our taxes to Rome anymore. We're not going to, you know, go to the monasteries and all these other places and start praying to Peter. We're going to pray to Jesus and that's it. Well, now you're stepping outside of their faith and you're becoming an enemy. In Revelation, it even speaks about how Christians will believe that they're doing God a service to hunt you down, track you down, persecute you, or even kill you. Revelation also talks about how some people are going to be taken into captivity. Some people are going to die by the sword. Some people are going to be on the run. And, you know, we discuss that with our kids, Ben, and our kids get it. And they get it, you know why? Because we talk about it every week. Every week, we do not shun from them the realities of the world. That doesn't mean they're watching SpongeBob. That means they're actually learning, right? We're not filling their heads with poison. They're actually learning about history, because our history will be their future. And, you know, with the underground church, you're not going to get appropriations from the Senate. Congress is not going to approve it. Right. Your governor is probably going to put you on the watch list because the eventuality of the world is that if you don't worship the state, which is China, that was socialism, communism around the world, right? Especially China right now, North Korea right now. If you don't worship the state, oh, by the way, Democrats and worshiping Joe Biden or Barack Obama, if you don't worship the state, then you're an enemy. How many times have we seen not just the Democrats, but also the Republicans state Christians to be on a terrorism watch list? But yet you don't have Christian terrorism. You have Islamic terrorism, but you don't have Christian terrorism. You know, I think what we're building up to eventually, and it comes with a series of calamities. We have events followed by narratives, and those events are biblical, and it's wrote in the scripture what's going to happen next. I think we come to a great falling away, and you're seeing it right now through multiple faiths. Man-made religions, man thinking he can become God with transhumanism, thinking that he can control the world with his own New Age beliefs. So this is all satanic. And then you have an AI religion. We're going to invent our own God, i.e. the beast. And then we have this other thing, which is the alien religion. We believe that aliens are going to come down and, oh, hey, well, actually, you know, we're your gods. So the deceptions are mighty, and the water's murky, Ben. What does a new Christian coming to this world who hasn't been red-pilled like you and I have, who doesn't know, I mean, man, I've probably forgotten more than I know. When you have a new Christian, new to the faith, and they come with that excited, pure heart, and then they get inundated with all this information, do you think that can scare people out of the faith? Or do you think that's where pastors and parishioners need to be able to delineate, you know, this is conspiracy theories. We are focusing on Jesus Christ and repentance. What do you think?
My experience is that different personalities and different people handle it different. Some people, they can't handle the Jack Nicholson quote. You can't handle the truth, right? You have to kind of feed them bits and pieces, or they're going to get overwhelmed. I don't know that they would fall away, but it can be overwhelming and you know, almost knock them down for a little bit. And I think each of us need to recognize and have discernment on how much we can download into people as far as getting them up to speed on what's going on in the world. Because it's easy to get overwhelmed with everything if you're not used to the, you know, what you're seeing the world in a totally different way, and all of a sudden you start going down you start getting called conspiracy theorists by your family members and everything.
I think quickly with if we have a civil war in America, which I do think we're going to, and the economy dies and then we go into World War III, you're going to have brand new Christians of the faith who were supposed to be supping on milk, who are going to have to go right into the meat and potatoes.
Well, yeah. That type of situation, you don't have time to, you're going through, it's a baptism of fire. You have to go through and get through it fast and move forward.
So what would be your advice to pastors then who are talking about, you know, we live in the surveillance state. We can't do things behind closed doors of the church anymore. We have to go and be in people's homes, barns, out in the forest. What is your advice to them on how they should start considering talking to the church and preparing them for something like this?
Well, my experience in Texas, it's hard to find a pastor that will bring up any kind of anything like this.
Right.
Unfortunately. And if you have a pastor that in any way will bring up these type of issues, or will stand up against the vaccine mandates and the mask and the shutting down the churches, then you're in a really good spot.
Praise God.
And I hope we can all have pastors like that. And they're out there. I know they're out there. And I know some, a couple that are in Canada that are they're farther along, a little bit farther along than we are on this, and they're actively making preparations for all these things. They are preparing the members and the Christians, and telling them the truth of how it is, and being prepared to be the underground church, and being prepared to, you know, and for some people that might be moving to different locations to be a part of a church. I think people are going to have to make hard decisions, and I think being part of any kind of underground church or any group like that, it's probably there's a good chance it's going to cost you monetarily. It may cost you your job. It may cost you your house. It may cost you your retirement. So people need to come to grips with that and decide, make a decision. You know, as far as pastors guiding the people in the church, I think it's like we've talked about, it is start doing some of these physical preparations, getting preps in order as a community, and be ready to be a community outside of the system, and start implementing some of that stuff now. In Canada, what they're doing is they got a list of all the other fellow Christian businesses, and they said, we're only going to buy food and clothes and get our taxes done by fellow Christian organizations. We're going to start banding together and supporting each other now. We're going to start forming this community of believers that we can rely upon for supplying our needs now before it comes time to where we're forced to do it. So I think that's one way that I've already heard of and seen in Canada, that they're getting ready. And they're also connecting with other like-minded people in other parts of Canada and in the United States, and being prepared to move or make connections and networks with these other people. I think, unfortunately, a lot of the Christian church is so segregated. It's everyone for themselves, every church for themselves. Yep. Oh, well, they're not my denomination. I'm Methodist. They're Baptist. I'm non-denominational. And well, we don't have anything to do with those people. Well, I think it's going to come time soon where all those walls and lines are going to have to be put aside, and who's willing to really, who has the real faith, and I think it's going to come from all different denominations. It's, you're already seeing a division among churches and families and friends, and after the whole COVID thing, you already saw these divisions. I think those divisions, I've seen that this for the last 20 years. The God seems to be dividing the church between the faithful and the hypocrites, or the true believers and those that just go to church on Sunday or claim they're Christians, but, you know, as long as it doesn't cost them anything. And I think that division is becoming more and more apparent.
It is. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people out of Alberta. A good friend of mine is from Alberta. And we were talking to the truckers whenever they have the trucking protests. The Doug and Dave Intel report from thecommonsenseshow.com, big supporters of that. We talked to a lot of people during that point in time. And to see those pastors that were being arrested by law enforcement just because they decided to keep the doors open. You know, for me, man, as someone who's prior law enforcement, I was so sickened and disgusted by it. And I just thought, that could never happen in America. That could never happen in America. We don't tolerate tyranny here. And then we did. And then we tolerated the burning of cities. And then we tolerated people being killed by masses of people being beaten by masses of people. We tolerated businesses, you know, African-American businesses, Asian-American businesses, Hispanic-American businesses, white businesses, being burned, being looted. we tolerated too much. The church tolerates too much. The church shouldn't tolerate sin, for one thing. I think we have a problem in the church. And you hit on one of them. Denominations, I think, is one of the worst things that ever happened to the church. You don't need a denomination. You need your Bible, and you need to hit your knees and pray and commune with God and repent of your sins. And then from there, watch what you say, follow the golden rule, treat others the way you'd like to be treated, help the poor, help the widows. You know, that's your religion. That's what Jesus said. That's your religion, helping people. But we don't, we follow enigmatic figures. We follow politicians. We follow your latest influencer who said something catchy instead of following Christ. And that's why we follow him straight to hell. And your religions are going right there with them. You and all your churches and all your religious people, you're going straight to hell because you chose religion over Christ. For many of you, that's going to be quite the surprise one day when God tells you to depart from him because you're a worker of iniquity and he doesn't know you. I've dealt with very, very religious people. You know, they love to email me, by the way. They love to email me. And then you have the religious people who, you know, here's the other part that I found weird. Recently, I was on with Mike Adams, the health ranger at Brighteon. And I brought up the fact that there was a Holocaust and how horrible the Holocaust was, and that it's silly that we even debate that the Holocaust happened. And man, did the pro-Nazis come out and bash me. Doug, you don't know your history, even though that's what I have a degree in. Doug, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know any of these things. I just laugh because people choose their stupid opinions and opinions of others instead of reading their Bible, instead of reading history books. They just listen to what's on TikTok or the next rabbit hole that's in YouTube. And, you know, that's part of the great falling away, by the way. That is part of the great falling away, because people lean upon their own understanding, and then they go out and they search. Scripture says they'll go out and search for teachers who will be teaching things that are not scripture, but their heart's desire is they want to know more truth, and they want to know more about genealogies and more about this and more about that and less about the cross. And that's why if Jesus didn't come back, there would be no flesh spared. You know, Christ says, when I come back, will there be faith in the world? I see the reliance upon machines like what you and I are using, the internet, the phones, you know, the computers. But when all this is taken away from you, because I firmly believe that the Constitution will be weaponized against Christians, weaponized. You want your First Amendment right? Don't be a Christian. You want your guns? Don't be a Christian. You want your Fourth Amendment right so we don't come into your house? Don't be a Christian. Take the mark and you get to keep your constitutional rights. What matters more to you, Ben? Your constitutional rights or to be a citizen of heaven? Which one matters more?
Well, our King is Jesus, and that's where our citizenship should be, is first and foremost the kingdom of heaven. So all this is passing away. All this is temporary. So focus on what's eternal and the eternal things. It's a conflict for all of us to let go, or be willing to let go of these rights that we grew up with and we expect to have. And again, this is where we're going to start having these conflicts of conscience, where do we fight for these rights? Do we start fighting against the government to keep our gun rights, to keep our freedoms? These may be difficult questions to answer.
So I'll say this: in a country like America, when like what, one in every three people have more than one gun? Good luck. But I will give quite the question to some of you. Let's say all they want is the AR-15 and you got other guns and the government comes to your door. Ben, we know you got an AR-15. We want you to give it up and we'll go away. Or you and your AR-15 can go with us. Now, if you got a shotgun, a rifle, a revolver, yeah, sure, it's not your cool, awesome AR-15. I love mine, all right? But when you're a family man, you have to think of a family. Is it worth me going to prison? Is it worth me possibly getting killed? And is it worth me leaving my family without the strong protector and the father and the husband over a gun? Man, you can acquire another gun. You can find other means of protection, but not only that, but we're not to entrust ourselves in these carnal things. That's going to get you caught up. And, you know, I have said these things to the point that people think I'm unpatriotic. I've been called weak. Funny that anyone would call me weak. I had a guy on a Pastor Butch Hawes show. He said that I was soft. I said, what you don't understand is that between your ears is soft. You would rather go to prison and leave your family than let go of your gun? That's your pride. Then go. Go with your pride. Satan is glad. You know, what we need is this word called faith. Faith and trust. And I don't believe in my carnal things. But if someone breaks into my house, my weapons will be used. If we have to flee, I'm picking probably the best three guns that I have because I can't carry 20 guns on my back. That's just stupid. But I'm picking the best three guns that I have. My wife will get one. We'll stash what we can in the truck, and then we're fleeing. And those will be used to protect myself and my family. When people say we need to try and take the country back with our guns, why hasn't it happened yet? You people have had a long time to band together to recruit. Why hasn't it happened? Fear. Fear is why it hasn't happened. Because you know well, just as I do, that God did not call us to do that. If God called forth the army of Christians to take over the nation and to put America back where it's supposed to be, then that would happen. But instead, God calls on us to hit our knees and to repent and to pray to him. But instead, nah, I can't hit my knees because I'm an American. And I don't need that repentant stuff. I'll just grab my AR-15 and me and my buddies will go and take the government back. Good luck. I worked for the government for 15 years. Good luck. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And look, I don't say that to be facetious. I mean in the fact that you cannot defeat a standing army, let alone multiple standing armies, or the Navy, or the Air Force, or the police force, the police state. You're already outnumbered before you even mobilize. You are completely torn apart. It's almost as if we did this to ourselves. Satan has a hand in all these works, but I want you to know this, though, Ben, and please talk about this. Everything that's happening right now, persecution-wise, the fact that we got a pharaoh as a king, right? We were literally given Nebuchadnezzar to be our president right now. That is God's purpose. Every single leader appointed is appointed by who? God. Every judgment coming upon earth and upon a nation is by what? By him, because his judgments are righteous. Satan is just carrying out what he's told to do. Satan can only do what he can do and is allowed to do. So, what does your AR-15 have to do in that equation? Nothing. For some people, Ben, it's hard to just sit back and think, I just need to shut up and I need to pray and I need to keep my eyes open. and I need to stay out of the conflict. But in America, we're so big on conflict, the rebellious spirit of America. We're so big on conflict. We think we can just rise and rebel and, you know, take back the country. It's not 1776 anymore. It's not cannons and privateers and flintlocks and muskets. Technology has advanced so much that you cannot do these things. Because which one of you is willing to put your name on the terrorism watch list and not have a cell phone carrier anymore? Not have, you know, a mortgage anymore, insurance anymore, no bank accounts anymore, no credit card? Your kids probably won't be able to be allowed in certain schools. You won't be able to have a job because you just declared yourself to be a terrorist. Oh, by the way, they're going to come after you. Who's ready to do that? Who thinks Donald Trump is going to come and bail them out? Just like he didn't for January 6th. Who's ready? Nobody. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. Well, another thing I wanted to touch on today was this idea of resistance and in a way that the hopelessness of it, trying to physically resist. I like history, like I know you do. And I like to look at the French resistance of the, in the war occupation of France in World War II. And the Germans came in 1940. They took over the place and they effectively ran the government there. And when that first happened, people were in shock. They didn't know what to do. The second thing that happened is the foreign forces, the German forces, they came in, they took control of everything. They put curfews, they divided up the land. They put restrictions on having no military type groups. You couldn't have free, association. They eliminated the Boy Scouts. All guns were taken away. It was under penalty of death. The next thing that happened was internal strife. And there was a division among even the people that wanted to resist. There was internal fighting among all these different groups. You'd have the communists and the Christians and the different political parties, all these, the few people that would actually wanted to resist, they were all jockeying for power and doing their own thing. The fourth thing that happened was the military, the majority of the military became POWs. They were all put into camps. After that, you had a lack of popular support, the willingness of the people. The people had no willingness to fight or to do anything. They just wanted to survive. And the statistics say that 90% of the people just passively went along with the Nazi German government coming in and telling everyone what to do. It was around 10%, they say, was passive resistance. So they supported the resistance, but they didn't really do anything. It was only 2 or 3% that actually did anything. And a lot of those people, they would do things like sabotage the communications and the railways. They would put up posters, that type of stuff. But they were really limited on what they could do physically, because if they were to physically attack the military, the German military, there would be reprisals. They would take out women and children or randomly kill every 10th person in a village. And that made it where the people were against the resistance because it was causing harm to them. So when you see that also the resistance is praised, the French resistance is praised now. But from what I understand, they weren't very successful. The only time they started having successes is after D-Day. After the D-Day invasion, they started having the Allied forces came in. So an outside force had to come in and really start pushing. And then that resistance force helped come alongside and be a real help during that time. But who's the outside force that's going to help? You know, even during the the United States broke away from Britain, they had France come and help them. A resistant movement almost never succeeds unless it's helped by another superpower or another government that's supplying forces, supplying food, ammunition, some kind of equipment. A resistance in the United States or Canada or any Western country now is there's no, where's the outside assistance coming from? Is Russia going to come to your aid? I'm just pointing out how I don't, like you, I don't see a rebellion from the inside being successful in the United States or other Western countries.
You know, that has nothing to do with a weak mindset, because a wise man sees these things coming and he prepares. Now, resistance movements take a lot of casualties. A lot of casualties. And just like with Vietnam, they would have been completely decimated if the CIA and the American government hadn't come in and helped. But also, we used Vietnam as a CIA weapons training ground. That's where the M16 was originally created and used on people by the CIA. It was in Vietnam. And so who's coming to aid us? Canada? Nah, man. Australia? The Chinese already took that one over. New Zealand? Yeah, good luck. It's not going to be, sadly, it's not going to be the European government. They're too busy fighting each other. And ever since they had the mass migration of Muslims into Europe, now they're too busy, you know, dealing with stabbings left and right because they took all their own guns away from people. It won't be Scandinavia. They've almost completely turned socialist. It won't be Russia. If it is Russia, then it will be China. And probably Iran and the rest of the BRICS nations, and they'll be coming here to carve America up like the Thanksgiving turkey. There's a point in the Bible that talks about the endurance of the saints. To endure something means that you have to go through terrible times, and you have to be prepared for those terrible times. Are we more prepared to go through, let's say, an EMP blackout with food, water, medicine, your tools, things that you can use for bartering? Are you more prepared to befriend your neighbor, you know, the neighbors that no one ever talks to anymore? Are you willing to be that? Are you willing to still spread the gospel, which is what we should be worrying about? We're more than conquerors. For all my patriotic friends out there, if you're going to be a Christian, then you have to be a Christian in the whole effect. As Pastor David Lankford said, it's not Burger King. You can't have it your way. You have to have it all or you don't get it all. Passivity is not Christ-like either. But there is a point in time where Christ talks about being as gentle as a dove and as wise as a serpent. You know, you see these bad times coming. The serpent climbs up the tree. The serpent goes into a hole. The serpent gets out of the way of the rampaging beast. He doesn't stand there and get ran over. And he also doesn't try to go and engage it. There's a level of competency that needs to be there that's missing with people. And none of that has to do with capitulation, though. Capitulation means once you've been pushed into that corner, you either give up your rights, you give up your religion, you do what the state says, you denounce Christ, and then you can live for a while, or you can resist. And from there, it's what God decides your life will be. And that is where your faith has to come in. But Ben, this is a temporary place. If we die, we go to a kingdom in heaven, a much better place than this. And for that, we're not supposed to be given a spirit of fear. But the Bible also talks about, Jesus talks about this, how you're going to have people who don't have faith. They're going to get tossed straight into the fire. You're going to have people who have a little bit of faith. And once a bad thing comes, because they only have a little bit of faith, well, they leave and they get rounded up and they end up getting tossed in the fire. And then you have a small amount of people who have the most faith, and those were the only ones saved. In war, I'll tell you this, I've been to war. War is hell. Nothing is promised in this world, and you're owed nothing in this world. However, as a Christian community, we have to take care of one another. But when's the last time, and chime in, when's the last time you saw Christians willfully going around helping one another? Well, we're not going to talk to that church. That's the Methodists. Oh, that's the Baptists over there. You know, they're still dancing with snakes and drinking beer in the back. You have the Catholics. Nah, they're not even Christians. They're pagan worshipers, more or less. Then you have the Mormons. Well, they're not Christians. And then you have these guys over here, the Pentecostals. And then the finger keeps getting pointed and pointed and pointed. And like you said, it's this great big divisional game. Everyone's jockeying for positions. No one trusts one another anymore. No one believes each other anymore. Everybody wants to fact check one another. There's what, like 20, 30 different versions of the Bible. And you have the King James only people. And then you have this brand of the Bible only people. Does anyone else not see how deep Satan has his hooks into the church? I see it as a person who ministers to people, who preaches now. I see it. And I don't care if I'm popular. I don't need a church in order to do what God told me to do. None of us do. We're all called to be warrior priests and preachers. But you see less and less of it, Ben. And so that's why there's going to have to be a raising up of men and women strong in their faith. If you had to equip them to go out into the woods to carry on the church, what do you think they should bring? What do you think they should consider to help out with the flock?
Well, first, I think there can be an issue within the church and within family. So you need to get right with God personally, but also get right with your family, get things straight with your family. A lot of right. families, unfortunately, are dealing with a lot of internal divisions and conflicts. And if you're dealing with that stuff, it's hard to help when your son or daughter or brother or sister internally is having issues and problems. I think people just need to start coming together as communities and relying on each other more as the day approaches. Start acting out and living out these things as far as interconnectedness and a lot of churches will have these home groups, and I don't know how successful those are or how dedicated people are. But through some of these things, setting up these home groups or setting up community groups, you start to filter out or sift out who can be trusted, who's going to carry on in the hard times. And I think the church almost needs this persecution. It needs an underground church. It needs these hard times to help really to forge stronger Christians and to separate the wheat from the chaff. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people are going to act until the fire comes. You know, the persecution's got to come. It's got to get hard for some people to start acting. But for those that are willing to act now, you know, start acting, start bringing people together, start getting people aware of these type of subjects and prepare for what might be coming.
Well, you know, for those who don't ever get to hear the verse, 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We gotta start having that expression again more, that we rely more on God than we do, you know, the things that this world offers, because Satan offers you the world, if you don't remember. I recall a time when Israel was brought out of Egypt, brought into the wilderness, and that was when they first saw God. They actually saw the glory come down. God had to bring them through the wilderness in order to get the people where he needed them to be spiritually, so that they can go forward into the promised land. Because they didn't see him in Egypt. They didn't see him prior. And I agree with you. I think the church needs to go through a time of a wilderness again. Because what is your God now? Your phone, your internet, your alcohol, your pornography, you know, your political debates, your sitcoms that you watch. You traded the love of God for the love of this world. You know, I think one of the best things that could happen to the church, and this is not a good thing to say, because people are going to die, would be an EMP. Completely unplug you from Satan's realm. The internet is like the worst thing. And at times it's also tremendously beneficial. But none of it is ran by Christians. None of it. None of this world's ran by Christians. Your government's not Christian. You have the big box store corporations that are shutting down every mom and pop store. That ain't Christian. You got the big pharma who's trying to they're trying to crush Russell Brand right now, even to the point that they're saying that Rumble should be deplatformed and people should start moving all of their money and advertisements out of Rumble, because Rumble sent the big middle finger to the UK government because they're not going to deplatform or demonetize Russell Brand. And I don't care what Russell Brand did previously. There's a point, as a matter of fact, that they are choosing not to bend the knee to this world. So I applaud Rumble, which is one of the reasons why I'm now going to start doing most of my stuff for Rumble and YouTube. Can kiss American Vindicta goodbye. But I see a culmination of things that are happening, and I think they're going to be happening soon when it comes to, you know, progress that the New World Order wants. They have a new thing for the UN where they're going to be coming after dangerous speech. Dangerous speech. Thomas Jefferson wrote about having dangerous speech. He wrote about having dangerous freedoms. And the reason why they were dangerous, because they were worth your life to fight for. I think they're still worth your life to fight for. But if we don't all come together under that canopy of God, if we don't all, you know, bow the knee, take down the false idols, stop the abortion clinics, there's a lot of work we got to do to clean this country up. There's a lot of work we got to do. And just because you're patriotic, that doesn't make you a Christian. And just because you go to church once a week, or, you know what, on Christmas and Easter, that's like most Texans, Christmas and Easter, you know, you go to church, that doesn't make you a Christian either. That doesn't make you in that connection with God in order for him to say, I will spare your nation if you would but commune with me. We have a covenant with God. God didn't break his covenant, but Americans have. We have to repair that conduit. And if we don't do that, judgment is coming. All of God's judgments are righteous and true. All of them. Every plague, every famine, every sword brought against us. And it's always to turn people back to him. God even says, I don't even want to see evil people killed. I want to see them turn back to me. But yet we deny him so much. And because of that, chastisement has to come, Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're in the Romans 1 where God just turns us over and says, okay, you want to have it this way? You want to have it your way, Burger King style? Here, this is what you get. You get the transgender, you get the the transgender library time. You get the children taking hormone and surgeries, and you get the government. You get Biden and these guys. Okay, this is what you want. Here you go.
Here's Nero.
Just let it go. And that's a scary place to be in when God's hand of protection just lifts off. And I think that's what's happened to us in the West. And it's kind of got to run. It's got to run its course, like you see in Judges. You see the cycle of Israel. It just they have strong faith under Joshua, and then the cycle starts. Joshua dies, and all that generation dies, and then the people start turning to foreign idols, foreign gods, and God warns them and sends prophets and tries to get them to get on the straight and narrow, but they just keep going farther and farther away. Eventually, God says, "Okay, I'm just going to turn you over to the Babylonians or the Assyrians or some other foreign empires that's even worse than you. I'm going to allow them to come in and tear you up, and I'm going to rise up judges. They're going to defend you, but you're going to go through a hard time under a time of tyranny, under a time of persecution, until you repent, until you call out to us. Then I will hear your prayers. I will hear the repentance, and then I will come and bring a savior or a judge or turn, take out your enemies." But it looks like we're in the stage of God just letting go, and the next thing that's going to happen is attack from the outside or internal conflict that we're going to destroy ourselves from the inside until it gets so bad that we'll call out and the people will finally actually repent and turn back to God.
I'll say this in closing, and I'll let you have the last words, but I pray that God does whatever he has to turn America back to him. Whatever he has to do to save as many of his kids, as many of his children as possible, that's what a father would do. And his judgments are righteous and true, no matter how painful they are. And we're going to suffer as Christians. We'll suffer right alongside everyone else. I think some people believe there's going to be like this magical bubble, like everywhere you walk, daisies and sunflowers are going to pop up underneath your feet. That's not realistic. If the power goes out, the power goes out. You're going to have to go down to the watering hole like everyone else, and you are going to be in danger with everyone else. Because anywhere you go to get food or water, that's where the predators are. That's where the animals are. And that's where people who prey upon people are as well. And so, we got to have a sound mind. We got to have a sword that we can defend ourselves with. And we also got to stay righteous and true with God. We got to keep that conduit of prayer open. I don't hit my knees enough. Ben, you don't hit your knees enough. The Bible talks about, praying without ceasing. That doesn't mean sitting on your knees 24 hours a day, not getting anything done. That means constantly repenting. God forgive me for thinking about that. Or just saying, "Hey, Lord, what do you think about this? God, can you please bless this little, biscuit and butter that I've just had?" It's the little things that we don't think about that we got to practice. And the closer you get to God, the closer he gets to you, and the more the miracles in your life start to happen. I've experienced a bountiful amount of miracles as someone who 5, 6 years ago was not a Christian, that if only I could go back to me 10 years ago and say, "Hey, kid, I'm from the future, but listen to me. Some crazy stuff's going to happen. I want to spare you a lot of pain." But, we can't do that. So we have to live with what is given to us now. And in that context, it is this: bad times are coming, but God is always there with his hand out. Like in Isaiah, every time he would chastise the Israelites, his hand was stretched out still. Man, Thank you so much for coming on with us. I want to give you any last closing words that you have, or if you want to talk about the, y'all's place out there in Panama, the board's yours for the next 5 minutes, buddy.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying there. And boy, it's just to me, it's like you say, falling on your knees, repenting, and all the little things, the being thankful for what we do have, our kids, our blessings, the food. It's having that attitude and remembrance that God is our supplier. And I think that's what's going to carry us through in the hard times, is that faith and trust in God to supply for our needs in the impossible situations. And if we go back to the underground church, they expected miracles to happen, and they expected God to show up and take care of them. And that didn't always mean that they were going to survive. Sometimes that meant they were going to have the faith to hold strong as they get tossed to the lions, to be torn apart to pieces, and to remain faithful. The martyrs, the people, they through their faith, through their singing of hymns and praying to God as their bodies were being ripped apart, it brought glory to God and brought more people to Christ, seeing that someone would go willingly, or that they were going to their death in such a way. And maybe that's what some of us will endure, but it's praying that God's will be done, whatever it is, and that we'll be used by God, and whatever He has for us, we're content with that, and we have joy and peace in whatever God has for us. And that knowing that, like we've said a couple of times already, this is all temporary. We're looking for eternity. We're looking for the new heaven and the new earth, and we want to bring along as many people as we can. We want our families to join us. We want the sinners and the reprobates to turn and repent and join us in the everlasting kingdom. So that's where my thoughts go. And I think we need to be praying for the underground church, the people that are right now in India, China, North Korea, Muslim countries, these places that they're being killed, they're being imprisoned. In North Korea right now, if you get caught singing or praying or any of that, you get I think 10 or 15 year hard labor camp, and almost everyone dies there. So it's basically a death sentence if you are caught with a Bible, if you're caught singing, if you're caught praying. So we need to pray for those believers, that they're staying strong through that. It also reminds me that in North Korea in the 1800s, there was churches, there were Christian universities, there were hospitals in the 1800s in North Korea. Now look at it. Don't think that this could never happen to us. It's happened before, but it's made the believers stronger. I think there's a saying of that the persecution only makes the Christians stronger and more, and brings more true believers to Christ, because they see the power of God through those circumstances, whether it's the miracles or the being able to withstand against the tyranny, or being executed for your faith, that you convince the prison guards that are torturing you that you still remain faithful, even tortured unto death. Those things, if you can save your persecutors and your tormentors through your faith, that's an amazing testimony and praise and glory for God. And the human side of me hopes that doesn't come to us, but the spiritual side says, bring it on. I'm ready for the torture chamber. I'm ready to get ripped apart by animals, or tortured like so many Christians have before, if it could mean just one more person comes to faith in Christ. As far as what we're doing here, like I mentioned last time, I feel like God has brought us here to provide an area of refuge, a place to come here in Panama to build up Christians, to build up a new generation, to be prepared for what's coming, to raise the families and children in an environment that they don't question their gender. They don't question whether a boy or a girl, in an environment they know right from wrong. They see true faith and belief lived out daily in a community, and being prepared for what's coming, knowing the reality of what's going on in the world, and what's not sheltering them or trying to necessarily escape, but preparing a next generation to stand up and to be a light for the world, and to go wherever they might be called. That this is a like a beachhead or a place that can send out reinforcements to other parts of the world if other parts of the world are in a bad situation. I feel like God has brought us here to do that. So if anyone feels that the Spirit is guiding them to look into that or help us out or join us here, just check out our website, CorazonDelCielo.com, and to contact us. And we're just praying that God brings the right people, and we're also praying that there'll be other communities that rise up, that God protect supernaturally protects all over the world. And I don't expect this to be necessarily until Christ comes. It only maybe it's for a short time, that this window of opportunity to train up the next generation, or the some young believers, to withstand and stand strong for what's coming. Like I said at the beginning, I feel like we're all gonna be become part of the underground church at some point, and we're trying to prepare for that.
And for anyone who wants to contact in the link description below on these videos, we'll make sure that we put in Ben's contact information. And yeah, just to echo what he said, the last video that we did was very popular, had a lot of questions, a lot of people really considering expatriate and moving to places like Panama. And there are little refuges all around the world. There'll be some here in America. I believe my wife and I believe that we are to stay, to be our own little refuge out in the Ozark Mountains. And that's where God's calling us. And I've talked to many people, Ben, who feel the need for these places like yours in Panama and elsewhere. I pray that people will be able to get there. And like you said, God supernaturally guides them, funds them, brings them to you, protects you. Because there's going to be a point in time, man, when the restrainer is removed. And you want to be in a good, solid place when that happens. You don't want to be in Chicago. You don't want to be in your apartment near up in New York City. Those places are going to be war zones. Anyone ever been in a city fight? That's not where you want to be. So, Ben, thanks for coming on with us today. We'll touch base with you here in probably a couple weeks again, and reach back out to you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. Guys, stay frosty, stay prepared, but God is with us. Do not have fear. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.